In the following bonus episode of the Daily Article Podcast, Dr. Jim Dennison interviews Pastor Patrick Miller. We wanted to share this interview with you because Pastor Miller's story represents well what it means to be a culture-changing Christian.
Hello, listeners. I'm Jim Dennison, and thanks for joining me today on this special podcast. I spent the great part of every day praying, writing, tweeting, posting, speaking in the firm belief that the Lord wants to ignite a movement of culture-changing Christians who can boldly address our culture's departure from biblically-based values and general disregard for Christians in the church. Today, I have a guest who's been instrumental in making an incredible difference in how so many people in the Columbia, Missouri area view Christians and particularly the Crossing Church. Patrick Miller is my guest. Patrick, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jim.
I'm so glad you made time to be with us on our podcast. I know that you're the director of Crossing 20s at the Crossing Church in Columbia, Missouri. Tell us a little bit about your ministry and the Crossing Church.
Absolutely. So the Crossing started about 19 years ago. And when our church started, the founding pastors, they had a vision. They wanted to be the kind of church that Columbia would be sad if they ever left. That if the Crossing just up and disappeared one day, people inside of our community would say, where'd they go? They did so much good here. We need them to come back. And that's really been one of the backbones of the kind of ministry that we try to do here. Like you said, I direct our 20s ministry. And so this is a ministry primarily, obviously, to people in their 20s, all post-grads. And we've got about 500-ish people in small groups. We've got about 1,000 people in their 20s coming to our church. I kind of joke that we are the official 20s ministry of Mid-Missouri. And we don't do anything flashy or special. We're a small groups ministry. We're about helping people connect into community. So that's our bread and butter, helping people connect with each other and deepen their love for Jesus.
That's incredible. 1,020s at this time when, if you read what's in the media, you often get this idea that as soon as people graduate from high school, we just don't see them again. They fall into this black hole. And maybe when they get married and have kids in their 30s, we might see them again. You're seeing the opposite of that is what it sounds like.
Yeah, we've definitely had the opposite experience. In fact, in my experience, I meet a lot of people in their 20s who are desperate for relationships. They have digital friendships, they have digital connections, they have work relationships that are often shallow, and they come to us and they say, I want something more. I want to be a part of something bigger. And of course, Jesus has that to offer.
I've seen that as really kind of an interesting phenomenon. As people are more engaged in social media, they're actually more lonely than ever. We would think it would be the opposite, but it's just what you said. The personality that they're putting out on media may not be their real person. It's kind of this alter ego or this avatar or this person they try to project. And all the time they're thinking, you don't really know who I really am. And they're looking for genuine community is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Phones are little loneliness amplification devices. It seems like they're the opposite, but that's exactly what they are.
That is a great phrase, loneliness amplification device. And that doesn't matter if it's the iPhone 11 or whatever it is. It's still three cameras on the back, but it doesn't really help, does it?
Yeah. So. Nope.
Wow. Fantastic. Hey, well, you sent me an email recently recounting an incredible thing that the Lord did in your church and community after reading something I wrote in a daily article a few weeks ago. Do you mind recounting that for our listeners?
Yeah, so probably 2 or 3 months ago, you wrote about a church in Indiana, I believe, and the church raised something around $11,000, but they partnered with an organization called RIP Medical Debt. And RIP Medical Debt, they buy medical debt from the creditors, and they're able to buy that medical debt for a penny on the dollar. So their $11,000 that they raised was actually able to cancel something around, I think, $11 million or $1 million in medical debt in their community. And so I saw that and I thought, wow, that's a really amazing way to make a massive impact on your community. And knowing, again, kind of the church that we want to be, I thought, this is something we should be doing. So I went to one of our lead pastors and I said, hey, let's figure out how much medical debt we've got here in Columbia. I mean, maybe we could raise $10,000 or $20,000 and we can make a pretty big dent in helping free people from medical debt. And he latched onto the idea. He liked it. Every year we do something called Vision Sunday, where we try to talk about the kind of church we want to be in our community. And so at Vision Sunday, he presented the idea. He said, hey, Columbia, we've got $7 million of medical debt. And this is people who make under twice the poverty rate. He says, we got $7 million here. And he says, and guess what? In our broader community in Mid-Missouri, we've got something closer to $20 million of medical debt. He said, this is a long stretch. I don't think we could ever do it. But what if we tried to raise enough money to cancel all of the medical debt in Mid-Missouri? That was going to require something around $200,000. And mind you, I mean, when we started, I'm thinking maybe $10,000. And so he pitched it to the church and he said, hey, what we ultimately want to do here is we want to announce that our community's debts have been forgiven so that people will see that Jesus has forgiven the far greater debt of our sin before him. So anyways, we throw it out and, you know, we didn't raise $200,000. We ended up raising $430,000, which, I mean, God just had something so much bigger planned than we ever, ever, ever imagined. And so we went to RIP Medical Debt and they were shocked. We came to find out that we were able, just our one church in, you know, small town Missouri, we were able to cancel almost half of the state's medical debt, which was extraordinary, far beyond anything that we had imagined.
And what was that actual number?
So the actual number comes out to being around $43 million of medical debt.
Incredible. That is beyond astounding. First of all, just to know that it works that way, that that money can be used to cancel medical debt on that kind of a ratio is terrific to know. But for a church to raise, say that again, how much the church raised toward this purpose?
The church raised $430,000.
$1,000. Not a dollar of which stayed inside the church, not a dollar of which benefited some program or some individual or some ministry. All of it was given away by the church to reach people, a lot of whom you'd never seen. You'd never met. People that you just wanted to help in the name of Christ.
Yeah, you know, and RIP Medical Debt, they're actually not a faith organization. They told us they started thinking they'd partner with people who had, you know, the hedge funds, private equity, maybe corporations, and they'd work with them to do some charitable giving and make a difference. They had no idea that churches would start reaching out to them. And before we talked to them, the most that they'd ever had a church raise, I think, was around $100,000. And so they've been blown away as an organization that, again, has no faith commitments, to see that Christians are committed to this, that we want to help free our communities from medical debt.
So I'm thinking about the witness of this to RIP Medical to begin with and the people you're working with directly there, and then to all the families that just get this call or this letter or however they get notified that the medical debt has been canceled. I mean, just imagine feeling that today. Imagine getting up today and having that kind of huge burden, that huge thing you're carrying around with you, and just know that that's gone. And then to find out that it's done in the name of Jesus by a church I've never visited, by people I've never met. You're not doing that to get anything from me. You're only doing it because you care about me in the name of Christ. I just don't know how you could preach the gospel and demonstrate how Jesus canceled our debt more effectively than that.
Oh, I agree. You know, and we won't know any of these people. We don't get their information. We have no idea who they are. But I can imagine someone receiving, you know, one of these letters saying, hey, all this medical debt that you've been sitting under, it's gone. And I can imagine someone out there saying, why me? I mean, I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything to earn this. And if we could be there, what we would want to say is, yeah, us too. We didn't deserve what Jesus did for us. We didn't deserve for him to pay our debts. And precisely because he's done that, we've been set free to do it for others.
Wow. That is the gospel. And it's the gospel in action. Years ago, a dear friend of mine said, I have no right to preach the gospel to a hungry person. In other words, if I won't meet their physical need, I really haven't earned the right to meet the spiritual need. That's Jesus' ministry when he heals bodies to heal souls, when he meets them where they are and leads them where they need to be. And it's exactly what you guys did. Well, let me ask, what made you think the church leadership and membership would follow an endeavor as bold as this?
Well, our church has a long history of partnering with different groups and organizations in our community. I mean, in the last year, we gave something around $2.3 million to organizations inside of our community. And some of those are faith-based, some of those aren't. I mean, we've done things like partner with local film festivals, not because we agree with their films. In fact, we don't agree with a lot of their films, but we say culture's a good thing, art's a good thing, and we want to see good things in our community. So we're going to come alongside you and be a part of what you're doing. And so the people at our church are used to giving to bless others. They're used to giving to make a difference in our community. They're used to giving because they've seen time and time and time again how when you care for people's bodies, you do care for their souls. People are reached for Jesus.
Did you meet any kind of resistance? Anybody in the church, anybody in the community, any roadblocks at all?
You know, it's a funny question. So I would say, no, we didn't actually meet much resistance at all. Obviously, there were people who had questions. They were skeptical. Wait, hold on, a penny on the dollar? How's that possible? And people who had questions of, well, what are the repercussions of giving towards this? Good questions, questions that we tried our best to answer and wrestle with. But generally speaking, I think people were excited to give and to be a part of this inside of the church. You know, outside of the church, obviously, there are going to be people who see something like this and they'll find some way to critique it. They'll find some way to try and tear it down. But generally speaking, we've seen our community embrace it. I mean, we shared this on Facebook, obviously, and this ended up reaching tens of thousands of people just sharing it, sharing the story, and people responding on those posts and saying, wow, I want to be a part of something like this. I want to be a part of a community that does these kinds of things.
And that was my next question. How's the community in general responded? That's just terrific to hear. One of the things that I've noticed in some of the recent sociological work is that even lost people, even people that admit that they themselves have no kind of faith commitment of any kind, look to the church to make a difference in the community. They think it's our job to be doing what you did. And so when you do that, when you step up, you're really moving in the space and in the direction that even the unbelieving culture is affirming and wanting to see you do. And they're saying, why can't more churches do more things like this? And so you're really preaching the gospel to them. It's what the, what was it, Francis of Assisi that was quoted as saying, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. It's always necessary to use words eventually, but you first of all have to preach the gospel at all times. And that's what you guys were doing. That's why it's such a terrific story. Let me ask, is there a special story you might be able to share about a recipient of the generosity or anything on the other side of that?
You know, like I said, since we don't know who's going to get this money and it hasn't entirely all been handed out, we gave so much that RIP was caught a little bit off guard. And so they're trying to find other places to give the money to. And that's always a great problem to have. I certainly hope that one day someone will walk through these doors and part of the reason will be because they had their debt forgiven in the name of Christ. I think what I'm seeing right now and the stories that I get excited about are stories of high schoolers, you know, who are at the football game, they're getting ready to play. And I just heard the story of these two football players talking. And one of them, one football player tells the other football player, yeah, I gave for the first time in my life. I gave a few bucks because I thought if I just give a few bucks, that's going to equal a few hundred dollars in someone's life being forgiven. And when I hear stories of, you know, teenagers and people giving and experiencing generosity for the first time, that gets me excited. And that makes me think probably 10, 15 years down the line, that might be the story that person tells of how I started giving, of how I started to become a generous person. It all started when my church said, hey, let's cancel medical debt together.
That's going to be the way this works, isn't it? Just beyond anything we can imagine. And won't it be cool one day in heaven to meet people who came to Christ, came to the gospel because of what we're talking about right now, that you won't know until you get to that place. So let me ask quickly, do you have any insight to offer to churches who might be considering doing something like this in their communities?
Well, one of the coolest things about working with RIP in particular is that even small amounts of giving have massive impact. I mean, it's a multiplier of 100. So even if you've got a church that can't give a lot, but can only give a few thousand dollars, that can add to, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars in medical debt being forgiven. So it's a great way to make a big impact, even with a smaller amount of giving. I think the thing that I would love to see happen would be that churches and communities, maybe, you know, the Crossing, we're a fairly large church. That's why we were able to do some of this. But lots of small churches could band together in communities and they could say, hey, let's collect our resources. Let's collectively announce a day of jubilee in our communities where together all of our churches are going to give and to cancel medical debt so that these people can get a letter in the mail that says your debts have been canceled in the name of Christ. I mean, that'd be so cool if that happened in every major city, that churches said, okay, let's do this together.
A day of jubilee. Exactly what you find in Scripture and what I think God would intend for us and for our culture as well. So one more question. What is the Crossing Church going to do next to impact your culture and community?
Yeah, it's a great question. Again, this is such a part of our DNA as a church that it's almost a hard question to answer because we're trying to keep our ear to the ground so that we can know the moments when God is calling us to give, know the moments when God is calling us to serve. It might be in the small things. It might be a single mom who needs a few meals provided for her. It might be in the big things like canceling medical debt. But I can't name a specific big thing that we've got planned for our next big project. But what I can be sure of is that this kind of giving, this kind of generosity is going to keep going because we're committed to it.
I think that's exactly the right answer myself. One of the mistakes that I've seen people make and that I've been a part of over the years that I've pastored churches and taught at seminaries and so forth is we can program out the Holy Spirit if we're not careful. We can kind of decide, here's what we want to go do for God, rather than asking God what he wants to do with us. As you know, only the Holy Spirit can convict of sin and save souls and change lives. And so we want to be open to what the call is now, what the call is today. A year ago, you couldn't have planned that we'd be having this conversation. You couldn't have known that you could predict this. And so what a year from now is God going to want you to do and do through you and through your ministry. So, Patrick, I really want to thank you for inspiring me with this incredible story of the power of God to take an idea and do such an incredible thing. Non-believers and believers alike in your community have seen the hand of God move in a mighty way. In many ways, it's a David and Goliath story for our age. And part of why it so impresses me is it's so consistent with what we think we're called to do as a ministry, which is to build a movement of culture-changing Christians. We think of culture-changing Christians as Christians who use their influence to impact the culture for Christ, who use their resources, use their gifts, their intellect, their abilities to make a difference for Jesus, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. And you're proving that churches can do that. And when you do that, they are changed and their community is changed. So thank you so much for your time, for your vision, and for your ministry.
Thanks for having me.
So glad to do this with you. And listeners, I pray this has emboldened you to step out in faith to boldly address some of the Goliaths in your community. I'm eager to hear more stories like this one. If you don't receive the daily article every weekday morning, just visit denisonforum.org to subscribe to the free publication and the daily article podcast. I invite you to browse the many subjects and issues that I and other writers are addressing to equip you to be a culture-changing Christian. God bless you.